Hi, and welcome to the North Alabama Conference Read Together podcast. I'm Reverend Wayne Hicks, and I currently serve in Decatur at Central United Methodist Church. Today, our scripture reading will be Psalm 75. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Your name is near. People tell of your wondrous deeds. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters with all its inhabitants, it is I who will keep its pillars steady. I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high, or speak with insolent neck. For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, with foaming wine well mixed. He will pour a draught from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. But I will rejoice forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Recently, my wife, daughter, and I went to visit with extended family in Buffalo, New York. We'd been expecting to make this trip for months and had blocked out the second week after Easter. We were reminded after we'd chosen that week that, one, the solar eclipse was happening on that Monday, and two, Buffalo was going to be directly in the path of the totality. Really cool stuff, right? Fast forward, we're on the back deck at my in-law's house outside Buffalo on that Monday. We're struggling to see glimpses of what was happening through breaks in the clouds. Unfortunately, it was a very cloudy day. So we're trying to get glimpses and keep our eyes shielded and take pictures all at the same time. So many pictures. And in the minutes of cloud cover, what we started noticing were all the notifications on our phones coming from friends around the country doing much the same thing from their perspectives, everywhere from Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania. All these folks were posting these beautiful, often breathtaking photos of what they were seeing as the moon slowly slid between us and the sun. Now, that day was an example of the good part of this hyper-connected, social network-intensive 21st century world we live in. Awesome pictures of the beauty and the intricate mechanisms of God's creation. Moments when we all just had to pause and sit with the joy in this striking, unique celestial event. The good part of hyper-connectivity, it gives us times like that. The bad part of all that hyperconnectivity serves up a nice big dose of negativity and conflict. Right there, right to our waiting hands, we get steady streams of other notifications that don't give us cause for celebration, but instead stir up anxiety, sometimes fear, playing with a hint of mistrust and amplifying it. The latest scandal, another war, more acts of cruelty piled upon each other. I tell people, and I try myself, to be careful about what we choose to engage with. I'll be selective about who and how much time we spend listening to such, and even unplug completely from time to time, because the rush of constant information, especially the bad kind, it can become overwhelming. It can start to affect our spirit, our mental state, even our physical health. At our place in history, with all our technology, we are people who can easily be washed over with all that bad news, atrocity, malfeasance, disaster. When I see the scripture today that we just read, and I take in some of the surrounding passages, it strikes me that the folks in that time and we might find ourselves with some similar feelings. things feeling broken, off, out of control, unsettling. And we don't know how anyone could go about starting to fix all of it and make it feel more like it should. Just before Psalm 75, we just read, in Psalm 74, the writer laments about this destruction around them in Jerusalem. The great temple has been destroyed by the Babylonians. The rubble is lying there. The central site of their worship and spiritual life is in ruins. And the people of Israel, they don't know when or how all this can possibly be fixed. Has God abandoned them? Will God just allow this foundational location of their faith to be taken away forever? Will things ever be normal again? So many questions and so much doubt about whether things will ever be the way they used to be, the way they've all been instructed that things should be, the way that they all want them to be. This shining symbol of God's presence with them is in ruin, and they have questions, deep existential type questions. This, by the way, is one of the things I love most about the Psalms, all the scripture really, but the Psalms in particular, they seem to carry us through a track of unfiltered human emotion, joyful worship, to doubt, to fear, to anger, questions and affirmations about who we are, who God is, and how we're connected. Psalms are really good at reflecting on a journey that I think most of us take through life. So there's this lamentation of Psalm 74. Then Psalm 75 starts to make a turn, starts to meditate on what God might be doing to answer their questions. How will God act to restore glory to this sacred place and restore order and restore peace? Now, if we were to read it all together, in the middle of that lament, there comes this opening line of Psalm 75 that affirms, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Your name is near. People tell of your wondrous deeds." So even as the seeming hopelessness of their situation stares them in the face, they reach for their anchor. Now, this is not rose-colored glasses stuff. They're not just whistling a tune and pretending things are fine. They know things are not fine. Deep in the consciousness of the writer, deep in the hearts of the people they're writing for, there is still this trust, though. There is trust that even in the midst of chaos, God has got us, just as God has always had us before. The nature of God means that restoration will come someday. God does not sleep, and God is on the job. The psalmist is affirming a conviction echoed, I think, by Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." The nature of God, the track of God's intention, always bends toward justice. The powerful, the proud, the apathetic rich, the ones who think they have control, they'll be brought down. While the poor, the marginalized, the excluded, the hungry, the forgotten, they'll be lifted up. Mary says the same thing in the middle of Luke chapter 1. And with that inversion of condition comes the idea that biblical justice speaks of shalom, peace, and not just the absence of conflict, but shalom, peace, God's intention of balance in all things as they are created to be. Justice, balance, harmony between God and all God's created is cooked into God's creation. This is the substance of what Jesus means when he tells people stories and parables about what God's kingdom is like. It's like shalom. It's like peace. It's like harmony. It's like God created it to be. So while people and the systems we make are busy ramping up conflict and competition and concern, God is at work, as always, showing us the better way. God's Spirit working among God's people is constantly encouraging us to see glimpses of the kingdom now and leading us toward the fulfillment of the kingdom that will be but is not yet. This psalm is it's another invitation for us to reach for our anchor. When the world feels out of phase and full of trouble and bound by division, when anger and conflict feel like they'll just wash over us, we remember and we reach for our anchor. If we look ahead to Psalm 76, we're given this series of memories that the Israelite people have of when God took care of them. God chose to dwell among them, making Zion a special place for that dwelling. God brought down all those who tried to break these people and cause separation between them and their Lord. I believe the anchor found in this series of Psalms, as well as throughout Scripture, it's one of God's greatest gifts for us. To know that to be human is to know suffering, but also to know that God's people have always found hope and strength in the one who loves us, the one who seeks us out, the one who's ready and able to lift us up, heal us, and take us further on the journey toward the fulfilled kingdom. Terrible things may happen around us. People make bad decisions, accidentally or on purpose. Collections of people make bad decisions, institute bad policy, carry out false assumptions and terrible prejudices. But walking right alongside us, there's the Spirit whispering the next better decision. There's Jesus showing us the better way. There's the constant presence of a proactively loving God encouraging us to turn, to adjust, to welcome, embrace, love, just as God's creation intended. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, as we conclude our time of reading and meditation together over this scripture, we're thankful for the assurance that even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, your steadfast love endures. Your promises are our anchor, and your faithfulness sustains us through every trial, every triumph. So may the words of this psalm continue to resonate in our hearts, remind us to trust in your intention and in your love. Help us to see beyond circumstances to the peace of your unfailing goodness. Enable us by your Spirit, guide our steps and illuminate our path. Grant us wisdom, courage to live each day on the path you would have us travel, seeking your kingdom above all else. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.